day before your Dalit. And we discussed the machlokas between the Ran on the one hand and the Ramban and the Balei HaTosfos on the other hand, whether or not those who live in Krach and Hamutaf and Koma, whose man is Tezvav, whether or not they ever have the option of Yom HaKnisa. Do they ever have the option of Yom HaKnisa? And we discussed that. Okay. Now, in the course of that discussion, we had occasion to take a look at the Ran on our Mishnah. Let's review that now. And Alex and Zafi Harif. The Ran raised the question, what is B'nai Kvarim? Again, those towns or small cities who don't have Asar Batlanim, who don't have a Minyan Kavua, and who therefore are given the latitude of reading on Yom HaKnisa and Sheni V'Chamishi, either because they're gathering then for Kriyas HaTorah or because they're gathering in the city because according to Takanas Ezra, the Batei Din were in session then. So what did they do about the nighttime Kriya? Right. So remember, we saw that the Ran raised that question. So let's review. It's the first Dibur HaMaskil in the Ran on Aleph Amud Aleph. Around 8-9 lines up from Kesef, the second Divine Master. Umegila de Lelia, in terms of Kriyas and Megillah at night, again, for the Kfarim, who advanced their Kriya to the Yom HaKnisa, so the Ran says, Efsha de lo karul lo b'nei Kfarim, de Megillah de Yom Ikar, kama she'echta l'faneinu, b'siyata d'shmayim. So one possibility, we'll see shortly, that some of the other Rishonim endorsed this one as well, is that they didn't read at night. That they were taki given a kula that they didn't have to read the Megillah at night. U'kishem shehekilu al b'nei kfarim lahaktim, kein hekilu aleihem shelo likras al Megillah shel yom. The same way we cut them some slack that they could be makdim liyom haknisa, so too we gave them a kula that they didn't have to read at night. Then the Ran's second possibility is O Esther Shakoran Osa Balaila Biyachid Ulamacha Koran Osa Ba'ayaros Ba'asara. Or possibly, says the Ran, maybe they read the Megillah the night preceding Yom HaKnisa, be it the night of Yud Aleph, be it the night of Yud Beis, be it the night of Yud Gimel. And Enoch Hanami, then they didn't have a minyan, they read it Biyachidus Ulamacha Koran Osa Ba'ayaros Ba'asara. Okay. Now just to round up before we raise the question, to round up what some of the other Rishonim think on this question, if you take a look at in the Rosh, it's in Perek Aleph, Simin Dalet. Excuse me, Simon Bob, I'm sorry. It's the Rosh, it's page 66 in the right hand column. In Perek Aleph, Simon Bob. The Rosh quotes the Gemara, which we'll actually take a look at soon, Glean Edit. The Gemara says that Amar Bishor ben Levi, if you see it's the right hand column here, Amar Bishor ben Levi, Chayv Adam Likos HaMegillah Balayla, with a Shnosa Vayom. Shanama Alatai Eka Yom, and the Lazana Balayla Lodimili. The Gemara says that there is a chiyuv to read the Megillah twice, to read the Megillah both at night and in the day. So the Rosh here broaches the same question which Tosfos al Hadaf do. Ha'haynu ha'yu omer Rabbi Natanzel, achol pi shabiruch man balayla, even though we said shachiyanu and kriyas ha'megillah at night, choze u'mevayach z'man af bayom. You make Shechiyanu again in the day, which of course is the psak of the Ramah as well, that we make Shechiyanu again in the day. But the reason which the Rabbi Tam and the Regiv is not that we have in mind necessarily Shalach Manus and Matanus and Avyonim, but Kriyas HaMegillah itself by Yom justifies the never Shechiyanu. To Ike Kriyasa, Havi by Yom, Yosem Ivalayla. The Ike Kriya of Megillah is Vayom, not Balayla. And we'll have to see yet what exactly that means, because even if the Ike Kriya is Vayom, even if for some reason the Kriya Vayom is more important than the Kriya at night, it's not immediately apparent why that would justify the Shafi'ana. But still, there's nothing new about this. There's nothing. 12 hours ago, we read the Megillah. Okay, so we'll have to see what it means that Ike Kriyasa Havei Bayom. Now, the Rush now has a whole. He rattles off a whole series of rayas to this yisod that the Ike Kriya is Bayom. And he says, if you see where it says Daf Chaf Aleph Omid Beis in parentheses, and you go down two lines from there. Chaf Aleph Omid Beis in parentheses, towards the middle of the line, go down two lines from there. Va'od Shebenei HaKfarim. Va'od Shebenei HaKfarim Shehoyu Makdim in Leyom HaKnisa Mistama Bayom Hoyu Boim Lishmoa Es HaMegillah Kishaboim Lishmoa Kriyas HaTorah Alma she'ike kriyasa bayom. Right? So the Rosh here is just taking for granted, like the first day on the run, correct, Rav Osai? He's taking for granted that the Kfarim didn't read at night. How could that be? How could that be that we eliminated 50% of the mitzvah just to accommodate to the B'nai Kfarim? So Elamai says the Rosh, it's quite clear that it's a kula, but again, it can't be that we cut out half the mitzvah for them. So that kula also points to the fact that the ikke kriya is bayom. Right? But in terms of our purposes, so we see that the Rosh also agrees with that first opinion in the Ran that the B'nai Kfarim didn't read at night. Huh? Okay. So one view of the Rishonim is that they didn't read at night. The second view, which the Ran has, is that they read the preceding night. Correct? I read the preceding night. Now the Me'iri actually has a third day. The Me'iri also right here on our Mishnah has a third day, and he says that they read following the Yom HaKnisa. That if Yom HaKnisa say was Yud Aleph, so the nighttime Kriya was the night of Yud Beis. I guess maybe they hung around in the city or the when the minions stayed assembled long enough. But he says they read the night following the Yom HaKriya. Those are the three views in the Rishon. Okay, now the question was raised last week, and we began to discuss it. And that's what I want to come back and elaborate a little bit in Yetzer Hashem, is that according to the opinion of the Ran, the second opinion in the Ran, that they read the night of the Yom HaKnisa. So if Yom HaKnisa is Yud Aleph, they read the preceding night, the night of Yud Aleph. So if they're reading the Yechidus, so what's the point in reading that night? Have them already read on the Iker Zman of Purim. Have them read the night of Yud Aleph. What are we having them read? The whole point is to facilitate that they should read Ritzibur. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult for them to read Ritzibur. We're not accomplishing that. So why are we having them read at night? So we said last time, so apparently, what you see from this opinion, is that the fact that we read the Megillah at night, before the Megillah in the daytime, so generally we don't think about that, right? Because everything in the Torah begins at night, so the night precedes the day, because Hayom Holech Achar HaLaila. So Purim night, we encounter Purim night before we encounter Purim day, so we end up reading the Megillah at the night, before we end up reading the Megillah in the day. That's just because that's how the calendar functions. So you see from this opinion in the Ran that that's not the case. But there's a more fundamental reason that Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla has to precede Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom. Right? I think that's what we commented last week. And now I want to try, Be'ezus Hashem, to follow up on that and to develop it. So to do so, let's jump for the moment to this same Gemara and Avdalah. If you take a look in the Gemara, which the Rosh quotes. It's Amir Bishur ben Levi right across from the Tosfos Dibur HaMatzvah She'atein Hayu Ba'Ozu Hanei. Right across from the Tosfos She'atein Hayu Ba'Ozu Hanei from Dalet Amar Aleph, Amir Bishur ben Levi Chayiv Adam Likos HaMegillah Ba'Layla L'Shnot Savayom She'nev Alokai Yekri Yomun V'Losane V'Layla Lo Dumiyoli. But I cry out to you in the day, and even though you haven't answered me, or not discernibly so, nevertheless, v'layla v'lo dumiyoli, and I don't remain silent at night, I continue to call out to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. why should a pasuk in this capital tell them be any kind of hint or asmachta for reading the Megillah by Yom Uvalayla? So Rashi explains that Esther Hamalka said that this capital Tehillim is describing Echo B'Mizmor L'Mnatzeach Al Ayalat HaShachar Hu Shenem Al Esther. That this capital Tehillim is anticipating the Tzara of Esther. Okay, so here there's a rather simple question. So what's Rabbi Shimon ben Levi's, again, summarize, what does Rabbi Shimon ben Levi say Halacha L'Maaseh? You have to read the Megillah twice. You have to read the Megillah at night, you have to read it in the day. So what does he say? It's a very strange lesson. Well, he should have said, it's Chayv Adam Nikos and Megillah Bayom, or Balayla. Balayla Bayom, okay, mention it sequentially. What is he pointing out that we're repeating it? He should have simply said, let's say when the Rambam writes the beginning of Hilchos Kriya Shema. He doesn't say you say Kriya Shema at night and you repeat it in the morning. He says, you say Kriya Shema at night and in the morning. Ba'erev u'bavoke. So why did Rabbi Shimon should have said, Chayv Adam Nikos and Megillah Balayla u'bayom? By Yom Ubalayla, whichever sequence he wanted to mention them. But why is he emphasizing the Lishnasa? So the impression you have here is that Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, and this exactly is the idea which we were saying in the run, we haven't explained it yet, is that he's saying it's not Sam that you read the Megillah Balayla Ubayom. That would sort of indicate that there are two distinct, independent obligations. The nighttime is Mechayiv in Megillah, the daytime is Mechayiv in Megillah. What Rabbi Shuv and Levi's Lashon suggests to us is that the Chiyuv is that when you read the Megillah in the day, it should be your second Kriya. It should be the second go-round. And that the purpose of the Kriya at night is that when you lay in the morning, that Kriya is enhanced for being the second Kriya of Megillah. The question is, and that's certainly what the Lashon would seem to suggest. But the question is, what sense does that make? What does it mean that the Kriya should be the second Kriya? How is that any kind of Hidur in the Kriya HaMegillah? Okay. Since that, you remember, 2-3 weeks ago, when before we actually began the Mishnah, so we were discussing a little bit about Mitzvot Derabbanan in general. And in that context, we looked at the Hakdamas HaRambam to the Minyan HaMitzvos, I'll say the Hilchos HaRambam. Right? And we saw how the Rambam says that in Mishnah Torah, we'll find a listing not only of all the Tayag Daraisis, but the Mitzvos Derabbanan as well, and that we're obligated to keep the Mitzvos Derabbanan as well. And then the Rambam explains why Derabbanans don't constitute a violation of Baal Tosfos. Right? So what was the Rambam's explanation? So the Rambam says, first of all, because Chazal clearly demarcate that this is Derabbanan. Right? They don't allege that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to add this to the Minyan Tayag, they rather say openly, no, this is a Mitzvah Derabbanan. But then we saw the Rambam add to that, and what's more, they then have to explain to us how this Derabbanan is anchored in Daraisas, right? What Daraisa concept is this Mitzvah Midrabbanan trying to reinforce? And the Rambam gives an example, right? So last time we were interested in the scheme for the Rabbanans, this time we're going to focus more on the Rambam's illustration. Shaharei lo omru shahakadosh baruch hu tziva lasos eruv o likos megillah ba'onasa. Ve'ilu omru chen hoyu mosifin ala Torah. Elekach anu omim shahanevim in bezdin tiknum v'tzivu likos ha-megillah ba'onasa. Why? Kedei lahazkir shvachav shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to mention the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, utshuas she'asalanu, and the salvations that he wrought for us, v'hayakarov l'shavaseinu, and he was close to us when we cried out to him, kedei levorcha, why are we mentioning all this? Kedei levorcha u'lahalalo, and now, u'kedei lahudia l'doros haba'im, to inform future generations, she'emes ma she'hevtichonu b'torah, Umigoy Godol Ashelo Elohim Krovim Elov Kashem Elokeinu V'chol Kareinu Elov. So the Rambam says, what's the Oraisa concept that the new mitzvah Derabbanan again reinforce? It reinforces tefillah. That's an interesting take on the Yontiv of Purim, right? According to the Rambam, again, Kriyas HaMegillah is the that's the centerpiece of the Yontiv of Purim. And Kriyas HaMegillah, what the Oraisa
Is that reinforcing? That's reinforcing the daraisa of Kashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav, our closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which gives us entree and special entree in tefillah. That's the yisod of the Yom Tov Purim. Okay, that's hakdama number one. Now hakdama number two, this is a theme Rav Shapter often discusses in his drashas, that there is a concept by tefillah of riboy tefillah. Riboy tefillah means to constantly repeat tefillah. Repeat tefillah. How do we know that that's something which is efficacious and that's something which is desirable? That it's not pestering, but on the contrary, that the Ribbono Shel Olam encourages it. So we know it from the pasuk in Yeshayah, right? In the Haftarah for Shabbos Chazon, in the first capital in Yeshayahu, so the Navi quotes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, Gam ki sarvu sfila inenim shemeya, kaz yideichem domim aleyu. So what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that not only don't I listen to your tefillah the first time because yideichem domim aleyu, because your hands are full, are stained with blood, but gam ki sarvu sfila. Even when you have a riboy tefillah, ineni shemeya. So you see that clearly that riboy tefillah is efficacious. Riboy tefillah is invited, and that's the ideal way, again, to be mispalel, the chozer mispalel, and to keep asking the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the ideal mode of tefillah. Right. So now we have a diyuk here in the Gemara, right? Rabbi Shua ben Levi says that chayv odom likros is ha-megillah ba'alayla v'lishnosa ba'yom, right? So Rabbi Shua ben Levi didn't say you have to read the Megillah at night and in the day, which is what he should have said, right? But he very conspicuously says you read the Megillah at night and you repeat it in the day, right? So we said the mashmoris is that the whole purpose of the Kriya at night is that when you'll read it in the day, it should be a second Kriya, right? That's the whole point. The Ikka Kriya, again, as the Rosh says, the quoting Rabbeinu Tam, and the Valei Atosus quoting the Ri, the Ikka Kriya is Vayom. So that's what Rav Shua ben Levi is saying. The whole point of the Kriya to Megillah at night is that the Kriya Vayom should be a second Kriya. So we said, but what's the significance of the second Kriya? What's the significance of the second Kriya? So the answer is, what's Kriya to Megillah all about according to the Rambam? Kriya to Megillah, according to the Rambam, again, is to reinforce the Yisod of Tefillah. Right? That's what the Rambam says. That kidei lahudia l'doros haboim she'emes ma shehiftichonu ba'Torah, that it's true. We saw empirically that it's true what the Torah promised. That mi goy gadol asher lo olim krov me'elav. What nation has a God so close to them? Kashem alkeinu b'chol kareinu elav. And by tefillah is an ina v'ibay tefillah. Oh, so that's the pshat. That's the pshat. That's why it's a hidur that the Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom should be the second Kriyas HaMegillah. Should be the second Kriyas HaMegillah because, again, the yisod of Kriyas HaMegillah is tefillah, and we want dafka that it should be an expression of riboy tefillah. That's what Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says, Chayav Odom Likros HaMegillah Balayla V'lishnosa Bayom. So I was discussing this with someone, and then they told me that they had heard in the name of the Rav that the Rav had said, I don't know about the part with tefillah and riboy tefillah, I don't know if he understood it that way or differently, but he had made this point about the whole point of the Kriya at night being that you should read it, that the Kriya by Yom should be a second Kriya. And Ad Kedei Kach that he said, what will be if you have the following Hechet Timsa? What will be a person, Rahman al-Islam, has to undergo major surgery in the morning? And he's going to go under anesthesia at 5 a.m., long before Amud HaShachar, and he's going to be out all day. Going to be out all day. So he's only going to be conscious for the night of Purim. So the Rav said that you wouldn't read at night. That you wouldn't read at night. Because the whole point of the night, again, is to lay the groundwork for the Kriya Vayom. So again, Lu Yitzuya, that a person knew that he wasn't going to be able to read by Yom, that he wouldn't even bother reading at night.
It's a Hefshir Mitzvah,
right, it's not an independent Kiyum. The point is, and now we understand, remember we saw the Lashon and the Rosh, that the Rosh quotes Ravenu Tam, that we make a Shechayanu in the day, because the even though we read it at night, because the Ikir Kriya is Bayom. So we said, so what if the Ikir Kriya is Bayom? So what if the day is more important? But we just did the mitzvah 12 hours ago, right? And Tosfos al Daf quotes, if you take a look, you have the Gemara of Dalet Amud Aleph is open. So take a look in the bottom Tosfos, Dibur Maskil Chayav. So Tosfos quotes the same thing from the Ri. Omer Ri, the Afal Gav de Mevarech Zman Balayla, Chozer Mevarech Oso Bayom, the Ike Pesume Nisa Havi Bekriya de Yamama. That the Ike Kriya is in the day. Again, whether Tosfos is going with the same mahalach of tefillah in terms of riboy tefillah, so that I can't tell you, I can't vouch for that. But what is clear that the reason of ikar kriya bayom clearly means that the night, again, it intimates that the night is not only of lesser importance, but it's not even the same mitzvah. Right? That's what the fact that you say Shachiyanu in the day, the fact that you're saying Shachiyanu in the day, you say Shachiyanu if you haven't had this mitzvah for a long time. We just read the Megillah last night. But the answer is, again, certainly according to this Mahalach, that the whole mitzvah is just that at night the only kiyum is to lay the groundwork that Bayom should be Lishnosa, that Bayom should be the second Kriya. So then you understand that Ikir Kriya Bayom, Taka says, a Kriya of this sort we haven't had yet since last year. Last night's Kriya was a totally different sort of Kriya. So that's why I'm not sure that we should use that Lashon of Hechsher Mitzvah. I'm not sure that we should use the lashon of Hechsher Mitzvah.
According to the Rav's pshat of saying that if you know that you're not going to read for the first and the second day, and now the first day, because if it's a mitzvah of Neatzmo, then you would read it.
Right. So according to that, if you say Ad Kedei Kach, if you take it to that degree, then doesn't that intimate that it is a Hechsher Mitzvah? So b'chlal, how do we have brachos at all? How do we have brachos at all? So maybe, I guess the Rav would answer. He would tell you like this, that as long as the person anticipates reading in the day, so then it's a mitzvah. It's not some hechsher mitzvah. It's not just building the sukkah. It's a mitzvah. But the mitzvah is to be preparing for the Kriya Bayom. I think that's what he would tell you. That it is a mitzvah, but the mitzvah is to be preparing for the Kriya Bayom. And therefore, if a person knows, if you would have such an extreme case, so then Taki he wouldn't read at all. Now it's interesting, as Tosfos themselves quote, that you go back to the Gemara here, but let's reread the Gemara here in Dalet Amud Aleph for a moment. Again, Omer B'Shur B'Lei, V'chayv Adam Likus HaMegillah Ba'Layla, V'Lishnosa Bayom. Shenemar, so now look at the pasuk, right? What we said again. What we said two ideas, right? Idea number one, that the chiyuv is that the Megillah should be read a second time. And by way of explanation, we said because the reading of the Megillah should represent riboy tefillah, right? That was the the explanation we suggested. Now look at the pasuk, the Gemara quotes. That's exactly what the pasuk says. Shenemar Elokai Ekra Yomim V'Losane. What's the asmachta now for the double kriyas of Megillah? Exactly this, exactly the riboy tefillah, right? Elokai ekra yomam velosane, I was mispalel, and laila velodumili, and I continue, and I persist in davening. So that's exactly what the asmachta is. So memela comes the run and says, well, if they read the Megillah, if the B'nai Kfarim, nachsul in yoneinu, if the B'nai Kfarim taki read the Megillah at night, so then they had to have read it the night preceding the day, because that's what the whole kiyum, that's what the whole mitzvah of night is. You can't read the nighttime Megillah after the daytime. It's not just because on Yudalit the night precedes the day. It's because, again, just intrinsically, the nighttime kriya is preparatory for the day kriya. So the pasuk taki is 100%. It's 100% correct. The pasuk is mashma that in terms of the tefillah that the initial tefillah is bayom, the follow up tefillah is b'night. And as a matter of fact, the Me'iri Taka says in his Deya that they read the Megillah the night after Yom HaKnisa, says that the truth is that we would always want to do that. The truth is that optimally, because of the asmachta of the pasuk, so we would also want to do that. B'nei Yudalid would also really want to read the Kriya Balayla after the Kriya Bayom. The only thing is, we're going to see, I mean, Yetzash Hashem, the Gemara has a drasha v'lo yavor, right, that you can't push Purim beyond Yudalid and Tezvav. A ben Yudalid can't push Purim to Tezvav. A ben Tezvav can't push it to Tezayin v'lo yavor. So we have our hands tied, and therefore we're forced to have the Kriya at night, precede the Kriya in the day. The B'nai Kfarim, who are reading Yeralf Yudrez Yud Gimel, so they taka have the latitude to have the Kriya Balayla follow the Kriya Bayom. So the Me'iri makes your point exactly. He says the Pasuk is mashma that the Ribui Tfila, well, he's not talking about Ribui Tfila, but the Pasuk is mashma that the Laila should taka follow the Yom in this context. What the Ran would say, and I don't think there's any difficulty associated with this, is Lemaisa, given the fact that you may mishta v'simcha k'siv, right, and that the ikar zman of Purim is the day, right? Sudas Purim shasar v'alayla is lo yotzei ydei chavasa. You can't fulfill your mitzvah Sudas Purim at night, and you can't fulfill shalach manos at night. You can't fulfill matanos avyonim at night. Because you may mishtav v'vitzim chaksev hayomim ha'elu niskarim v'nasim. So the ikizman of Purim is bayom. So memela, the Ran would tell you, that's why we invert it. And that's why, even though the asmachta, you're entirely correct, even though the asmachta of the pasuk points to the riboy tefila balayla, but we say that the ikir kriya should be the one that manifests the riboy. And since clearly, given that the ikar's man of Purim is Bayom, again, look at Suda, look at Shalach Monos, at Matanos Avyonim, so therefore the ikar kriya is clearly Bayom also, according to many of the Gedolei Achronim, the kriya Bayom is Midivei Kabbalah, and the kriya Balayla is Durabonim, according to some of the Gedolei Achronim. They're not even equal. And then this whole idea, which we're developing, would be on the Durabonim level, not on the Divei Kabbalah level. But since, even if they are equal, but either way, the Ikka Kriya is Bayom, so then Memela, we invert it. And the Me'iri says, no, all things being equal, the Ikka Tzvila Bayom notwithstanding, we would still maintain that sequence, but V'lo Yavor, the B'nai Kfarim have the possibility of doing it, so they taka would read the Megillah the night following the day. When? In our scenario or the B'nai Kfarim?
No, B'nai Kfarim, or he said,
I guess they. Maybe they wouldn't. I'm not sure they would. I would imagine that they wouldn't, because it's not a new mitzvah and it's not the Ikka Kriya. So the Taka wouldn't say anything. In addition to just the fact that the pasuk, as you point out correctly, that the pasuk suggests that the riboy tefila happens at night, that as a basis for the Me'iri saying that optimally we would always have wanted the kriya balayla to follow the kriya bayom. The Me'iri converges very beautifully with another idea. And that is, again, so we know that in Kol HaTarukula, Vayer Vayivoke Yamecha, that's what the Mishnah says in Chuvah, that's how we know from the Parsha of Maaseh Bereishis that in Kol HaTarukula, Hayom Holech Acha HaLayla, right? But then we also know that the Gemara Tzvura tells us that there is one exception. But what's the one exception? The one exception is in terms of Korbanos, right? In terms of Korbanos, when the Zman Achila of a Korban is for a day and a night, so it's the night following the day. So in terms of in Mikdash, for purposes of Korbanos, it's Halayla Holech Acha Hayom. The day begins at Amud HaShachar, and then goes till the next time on Hashachar. That's the one exception. Fine. Then, okay, good. Then when you stop and think about it, you realize something very interesting. Let's say there is an Issur Lo Sochel Al Adam. Right? So what's the Issur Lo Sochel Al Adam in context of Hilchos Tefillah? The Issur Lo Sochel Al Adam is you're not supposed to eat, right? Lo Sochel Kodem She Tispalu Al Dimcha. Right? Until we have at least once daven to the Ivon Shalom for our very lives, so we shouldn't be eating. Okay, so when does this Issur apply? This Issur applies, you can't eat before you daven Shachas, right? We all know you can't eat before you daven Shachas. No, it should be you can't eat before you daven Maariv. And Shachas should have the coolers of Maariv. You have a Shomer, whatever coolers that we have, Legave Maariv, you should have for Shachas, and Maariv should have absolutely no coolers. Because that's the first tefillah, because Hayom Holech Achar Lailah. But it doesn't work that way, right? It doesn't work that way. Why not? So this is one of many indications. Again, what's the makor for tefillah? Is avodah shevalev. And again, and that equation is not a melitzah. It's not a rhetorical flourish. It's a very rigorous equation, right? That's why the duchening has to be in the context of tefillah, because duchening has to be in the context of avodah. So it's a very rigorous equation. So what you see is that for tefillah also, the yom of tefillah is similar to the yom of kavanos, because tefillah ikrei avodah. So the yom of tefillah is also halayla holech acha hayom. That's why something like losoch la'adam, losoch l'kodem she tefal l'adimchem, means before shachar. That's the first tefillah of the day. Then you'll take a look in the Sefer HaChinuch, you'll see something very interesting. The Sefer HaChinuch, as of course, as he constantly reminds us, follows the minyan and mitzvahs of the Rambam. So he'll tell us when the Ramban disagrees, but the listing always follows the Rambam. Even though sometimes he'll say, I really understand the Ramban better, the listing follows the Rambam. So therefore he counts the mitzvahs essay d'oraisa of tefillah. Now as the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph Hilchos Tefillah, the mitzvahs essay is once a day. So now here's the question. A person davens Monday morning, right? Davens Monday morning, and then he'll daven again Tuesday night. So in terms of the d'oraisa of tefillah, is he okay? Right? So again, the question is, well, what's the yom of tefillah, right? So if the yom of tefillah is the yom of kol ha'torah kula, he's not okay. Because from Monday night until Tuesday night, that 24-hour period he missed. But if the yom of tefillah is the yom of kavanos, so then he's okay. Because the Monday morning tefillah takes care of him until Tuesday morning, and then he just has to make sure that he davens again before Wednesday morning, right? So he'll be okay. So you take a look at the Lashon in the Sefer HaChinuch, right? So Kayodua, the Sefer HaChinuch concludes every mitzvah and says, if a person did such and such, then he was mevatel this mitzvah, or he was over in this mitzvah. So the Sefer HaChinuch says that im over olav yom v'layla v'lo hispalel is hareza bitel ha-mitzvah, right? Im over olav consecutively what? Not Laila Vayom, but Yom Valaila, right? So if you daven, if the person davens Monday night and Wednesday morning, that's no good midoraisa. That doesn't satisfy the doraisa, because the doraisa Yom of Tefillah is the same Yom of Kavanos. Then, just one more, once we're on the subject, there's a very interesting din which is quoted in the end of the first chelik of Arachayim, second chelik in Mishneh Berurah, from the Gemara. Let's say a person has a certain chok kavua that he learns every day. A person learns daf yomi. Every morning he learns the daf. Okay, so again, anytime a person undertakes something like that, a person should say bli neder, right? Even though he's not explicitly being noder, but it's a minik shel mitzvah, so a person should say. Person should say bli neder. Fine. Okay, but let's say a person has a certain chok kavua that he learns every day, daily. So for whatever reason he missed the daf yomi shir this morning. So it says that he should make a point to be mashlim that night. But if he's not mashlim that night, so afterwards, okay. I mean, he's not being discouraged from learning the daf. But there's no urgency to be mashlim. There's an urgency to be mashlim at night. There's no urgency thereafter. So what's the urgency to be mashlim at night? The answer is like this: the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos quotes a Sifri, again on Ula Avdo B'chol Avavchem. So the Sifri says Eizoi Avodah Shabalev. So the Sifri has two drushes. One is La Avdo Zed Tfila, right? So that's the one with which we're very familiar from the Rambam Hilchos Tfila. But the Sifri has another drush that the Rambam quotes there in Sefer Mitzvot, Ula Avdo Zed Talmud. The Talmud Torah is also equated with Avodah Shabalev. That's from the Furish of Sifri. You'll take a look in the Rambam. I think it's Mitzvah say Vav or something in Sefer Mitzvah. That Ula Avdo, he says it's two things. It's A is Tfila. As a matter of fact, it's even in the opposite sequence. First Zet Talmud, and then Zet Tfila. So what does that suggest? It suggests again that the Yom of Talmud Torah should also be Halayla Holei Chacha Hayom. L'may Nafkamina is exactly this thing, right? A person has a kfiyas, he learns Daf Yomi. So he learns Daf Yomi, so now there's takin going to be an urgency to be mashlim at night. Because my kviyas is to learn the Daf today. So if I missed in the morning, if I'll learn at night, I'm still salvaging the day. I'm still complying with my minig shel mitzvah. But once the night has passed, so then you don't have the urgency. It's dominant, you know, tashlum, which is a good idea, but you don't have the urgency. So the Meiri's understanding converges very beautifully with the fact that the sequence, according to the Meiri, like the Meiri says that optimally the sequence should really be Kriyas HaMegillah Balayom and then Balayla, right? So this whole long digression was just to say that Lamaisa, that converges beautifully with the fact that in terms of Tefillah, that's the sequence of the day. Right, so what seems like a very strange preference of the Meiri, so the truth is not only supported by the pasuk, as you point out, of Elokai Ekra Yom Velo Sane Velayla Velo Dumiyali, but is also consistent with the Yom of Tefillah as well, which is that Halayla Holech Achayom, that it's first day and then night. Okay, so Kitza Maisa, I don't think the Meiri is necessarily disagreeing. He doesn't necessarily have to be disagreeing with this idea of the Rambam of how reinforcing tefillah is the a central pillar of Kriyas HaMegillah, and that therefore we want to illustrate Riboy tefillah. But the only question is this: do we then say, since the Ikar Kriya is Bayom, we want the Kriya Bayom to manifest the Riboy tefillah? That's what the Ran thinks. Or we say no, we would rather, be it because of the pasuk, be it because in general, in Hilchos Tefillah, Halayla Holech Achayom, in general, it's always going to be optimal that the Kriyas Halayla should follow the Kriyas Hayom. Okay. Let's perhaps just do... Well, again, the Meiri says we would have, except for the fact that we run into Velo Yavor. The Meiri says we always would have opted for that. But Velo Yavor means that someone from an ear can't push Purim beyond your Dalet. And someone from a Krach, Hamukav Choma, can't push Purim beyond Tezvav. So because of that constraint, we're never able to have the Kriyas Halayla following the Kriyas Hayom, even though that's the ideal. He says the only time we have an opening to do that is when you're reading on Yom HaKnisa, so then you don't have the cutoff. It's only Yud-Aleph, it's only Yud-Veis, so I still have the possibility of reading tonight. But he says, in theory, we always would have wanted to do it. But we can't because of the Gzeres HaKosov of Elo Yavah. Okay, but let's take a look in the Gemara, first on Beis Amid Beis, just... It ties in with something that we discussed last week, and then as we have time, we'll come back and begin here in Beis Amid Aleph. If you see around the 15, 18 lines down, Kochem Hamukafim Chomim Moshe Yeshua Ben Nun Koren B'Chamisha Asar. Okay, so the Mishnah tells us again that people who live in a city which was enclosed, encircled by a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, so they observed Purim on the 15th. Minan emilei omerava or amerav to omekor alken ha Yehudim ha prazim ha yoshim ba'ori ha prazos. the Jews who live in open areas, so the pasuk goes on to say that they read the Megillah on the 14th. Says the Gemara, midepazim ba'avasa mukafin b'chamishasa. Okay, so the pasuk says that the pazim read on the 14th. And the nether pasuk tells us that that Purim is observed on the 14th and the 15th. Well, that makes it pretty easy to figure out that the Mukaf and Chom are going to read on the 15th. Says the Gemara, well, maybe Eim of Purim by Abbas or Mukaf and Klal Klal Lo. Maybe Mukaf and don't have to read in the Megillah. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? V'lav Yisrael Ninu. Well, they're not Jewish. They don't have to read the Megillah. V'od Mehodu Ad Kush Ksiv. When Mordechai and Esther wrote the Igeres HaPurim and they circulated, so they circulated throughout Malchus Achashverosh, that means across the whole world, means that it was relevant to everyone. So says the Gemara, and now look at this next Tav Amina. Says the Gemara Ve'ema, well, even so, how do you know that the Purim read on the 14th and the Mukafen on the 15th? Again, it never says that explicitly in the Psukim. Ema prazim ba'arbesa, mukafin ba'arbesa ubechamesa. Maybe it's true. The Pasuk says that Purim is 2 days. And it says that those who live in unwalled cities observe Purim on the 14th. Well, maybe the implication is that those who live in walled cities observe a 2-day Purim, the 14th and the 15th, right? Ema prazim ba'arbesa, mukafin ba'arbesa ubechamesa. So doesn't it contain? Isn't that a better reading of the pasuk? Answers the Gemara. Well, almost. I have a kasav es yom arbaasa v'chamishasa kider ka'amis. If the pasuk would have said lios osim es yom arbaasa v'chamishasa, so then you would have been right. Hashu dechsev es yom arba asar ve es yom chamisha asar asa es upasik. So the fact that we're sort of we're compartmentalizing here, we're breaking it into two different units. There's a unit of the 14th, a unit of the 15th, not a unit of 14-15. So that tells us that hane ba'arba asar ve hane b'chamisha asar. The Gemara has one final possibility. Ema prazim ba'arbesa. Okay, so you're right. No one has to read twice. Ema prazim ba'arbesa mukafin iba'u ba'arbesa iba'u b'chamesa. Maybe the mukafin have that choice. Maybe they can read either the 14th or the 15th. Amakra bizmanehem. In their respective times. Zmano shelzeh lo zmano shelzeh. Okay. And finally, Ema Bitzleisa. Well, maybe Mukaf and Choma is supposed to read on the 13th. Kishushan. They're modeled on Shushan, which was also a walled city. Right. So why are we jumping ahead to this Gemara now? So the Gemara here has the Hava Amina, right? Amongst other things, that maybe the Pshat is that the Mukaf and Choma should read on the 14th and the 15th, right? Maybe they should read twice. So what kind of Hava Amina is that? Mainly that they should have their choice, the 14th or the 15th, okay. But that they should read twice. So remember what we discussed last week, Rebbe Osa, right? Remember we discussed last week how the chiyuv of the Bnei Krachim is really a double chiyuv, right? That they have one chiyuv, which is the same as the chiyuv of the Bnei Yudalit, which is to be mefarsin, the Nes of Purim, through Kriyas and Megillah, through Shalach Manos, Matan and Savion, right? That's one chiyuv. But then the Bnei Krachim have a second chiyuv, right? A second chiyuv, which is that it's incumbent upon them to make Purim into a 2-day yomtiv, to be mefarsem the neis al gabe neis, the hatzala al gabe hatzala, that Esther was granted an extra day to eradicate the seat of sinna within Shushan, right? And that's why Tosis and the Ramban think that you can't have a ben krach who will be advanced to Yom HaKnisa, because you'll lose that, right? That's what we discussed Barichos last week. So this Hava Amina now in the Gemara is not some the Gemara is throwing every logical possibility and trying to confuse us. No, the Gemara is saying, wait a minute, if the Chiyuv of the Bnei Krachim, again, is to highlight, is this double Chiyuv, so then it's entirely logical. Maybe they're supposed to read twice. Maybe they're supposed to with everyone else, they have the first component of the mitzvah on your Yudalid, and then they'll add to that by reading a second time in Chamishah. So the Gemara says, yeah, it would have been perfectly logical what you're saying. That they would have had to do the mitzvah twice would have been perfectly logical. The only thing is, the psukim are not meduyak that way. So you see that rather the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah said that they should fulfill both chiyuvim simultaneously. Instead of fulfilling one on Yudalid, the second on Tezvav, no, they can fulfill both on Tezvav simultaneously. Okay, that's just to...
When I say that the chiyuv that they have, it's not so much a chiyuv on them to be mefarsame by doing it both days, but to be mefarsame by acting it out on the second day. In other words, the chiyuv is on Klal Yisrael, but the chiyuv of being mefarsame is on the people who live in Krakham, goes on the people who live in Krakham, so they have the second day. But the chiyuv is split between Klal Yisrael, those that live with the crop, so they have the initial part of the chiyuv. And what falls on the people in the crop is that additional chiyuv of being mefarsame, which is the second latter part of this chiyuv.
How do you know they have the first one, you mean?
Well, the first one we know was on Klal Yisrael, which is on Yudalit, which would happen to the Home Megillah. But the krach has this extra chiyuv of Pirsumei Nisa that is sort of like an add-on to all Klal Yisrael, but it's only those people in Krachim. There's no need to add on that additional chiyuv that they have. How many they have to read twice? But they have that chiyuv because they live in a krach to be mefarsim on a different level because the Megillah was based on a two-tier name.
I think basically what we are saying then, that they have this. But they do have this double chiyuv.
But in order not to say that they have this double chiyuv that requires even Hami to read twice, because split the chiyuv in the context of Klal Yisrael, not on the person who lives in the krach. In other words, not even to say that they have an initial chiyuv of reading twice, but you know the pesukim don't read that way because the chiyuv of pesumei nisa falls on all Klal Yisrael, not just on the individual.
I don't know. Maybe this extra presumenisha should just emerge from combining the two. Not that they... Well, I guess according to... I don't know. How do you know that from the psukim? I don't know. We'll have to keep that in mind. I'm not sure. Okay, maybe let's just introduce what we'll see next time. We have a few more minutes. Rashi and the Mishnah here. So what exactly is the need... How were the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah accommodating the Bnei Kfarim in extending this kula of Yom HaKnisa? So let's take a look at the Rashi. Elishai Kfarim Makdim Le Yom HaKnisa. Kloma Me'acha Shaham Mukafin Koren B'Tzavav V'She'ein Mukafin Koren B'Yudalit Harei Kol B'Chlal. So we've covered everyone. You either read in Tzavav or Yudalit. How can the Mishnah tell us that Megillah is Nikris and Yudal Fid Reis and Yud Gimel as well? Suhechi Mashkach as Yudal Fid Reis Yud Gimel. Ela Shach Kfar Nosnu Lehem Chachamim Mishus Lahakdim Kriyos Ali Yom HaKnisa. What is Yom HaKnisa? Yom Sheini B'Shabbos Shalifna Yudalit O Chamishi B'Shabbos. Shehu Yom Knisa. What does it mean that it's a Yom Knisa? Shehakfar Miskansim La'ayoros Lemishpat. That the villagers would come into the big cities, the fisher batei din and yoshvin ba'yaros b'sheinu v'chamishi ketakonas ezra, because on those days the batei din convened, so they used to come into town for bezdin, so memela they had access to a minyan. What's more importantly, says Rashi, not only that, v'hakfarim enin b'kiyin likros, the average villager didn't know how to read the Megillah. And they're dependent upon one of the Bnei Ha'ir reading for them. And the Chachamim, again, this is how the Chachamim were accommodating them. That they didn't impose upon them to come on your Dalid if that wasn't a Monday or Thursday. Upa'amim, Rashi goes back just to the context of the Mishnah, Shayom HaKnisa B'Yud Gimel Upa'amim Shehu B'Yud Aleph. Okay, so a couple of interesting things here. So first of all, Rashi is of the opinion that who read it for the Bnei Kfarim? It was one of the city people, right? Echad mi Bnei Ha'ir was the one who read it for the Bnei Kfarim. We'll see next time, Yitzha Hashem, Tosus in Yevomis, on Dav Yudalit Amad Aleph, says, no, that couldn't be, because a Ben Kfar, a Ben Ir, it's not as man kriya for him to read the Megillah on Yom HaKnisah. So he's an Einu Mechuyah Badava. He's an Einu Mechuyah Badava, so it couldn't be that a Ben Ir would read for a Ben Kfar. So Tosus in Yevamah says, no, it wasn't that the Bnei Kfarim were illiterate and they didn't know how to read, it's just that they didn't have a minyan otherwise. They knew very well how to read for themselves. The accommodation was that they wouldn't have a minyan otherwise. But within that minyan, it was Dafka Ben Kfar who read. Dafka Ben Kfar who read. So we're going to have to discuss that Machlokes Rashi and Tosus. But now maybe let's just sort of just consider one application of that. Reb Kiva Eger in Shulchan Aruch raises the following question. And then Reb Shlomo Zalman was asked this question also and has a whole long tshuva about it. The question as posed to Reb Shlomo Zalman was this, that a person had a job, he didn't have a job, it was something he did volunteer, that he used to go to, I think it was a hospital, and he would make kiddush for the people. Fine. Then what happened was either he relocated or the home relocated, and now it was very far from his home. So it was much too far for him to be able to walk home afterwards. So he wanted to know if he could make kiddush for them without being mekabel Shabbos. And that way he'd make kiddush for them, to be motzi them with kiddush, but he'd have in mind until now he had made kiddush and he'd been mekabel Shabbos. And he walked home. But now already he was miles and miles away. So now he wanted to know whether or not he could make kiddush for them without being mekabel Shabbos. It was after plug, so they were entitled to be mekabel Shabbos and be yotzei with kiddush. But the question was, if he wasn't being mekabel Shabbos, could he be motzi them with kiddush? So Shlomo Zalman says that this suffix you have mefurish in Reb Kiva Eger, and Reb Kiva Eger says that the tzadei asafek are as follows. Again, we have to discuss what the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos is all about. But Reb Kiva Eger takes for granted Shitas HaTosfos. He's assuming that we're following Tosfos, and says the suffix is as follows. So Tosfos says that a Ben Ir could not read for the Kfarim and Yom HaKnisah. It's not their day. Even though, right, it's the same. Now, so when it comes to Kiddush, so Kiva Eger says, well, maybe it's the same, right? Maybe it's the same. Since I'm not being Mekabel Shabbos now, so I'm not Mechuyav in Mitzvah Kiddush, because I'm not being Mekabel Shabbos, so an Einu Mechuyav Adava can't be Motzi Yisarav Midei Chavasan. Or, says Reb Kiva Eger, but maybe this is better, because if I wanted to, I could be Mekabel Shabbos. It's not that Yom HaKnisah is, if I have my residence in a place where there are Asara Batlonim, so then I can't take advantage of Yom HaKnisah even if I want to. I can't take advantage. Right now, Basher Usham, so I own a house in a place where there are Asara Batlonim, so I don't have the potential of taking advantage of Yom HaKnisah. Masha and Cain, when it comes to making Kiddush and being Mekabel Shabbos, if I wanted to, I could be Mekabel Shabbos. For convenience sake, he doesn't want to be. So that's what Kiva Eger has a tzarchiyah. He's not poshet the Yivai. Shlomo Zalman himself is inclined to think that you could do such a thing, that you could make Kiddush and be motzi others without being Mekabel Shabbos. Why? Because, well, maybe we'll have to discuss this in context of with Rashi also, but he says in deference to Reb Kiva Eger that he can't recommend that one go against Reb Kiva Eger, so he says that the person himself shouldn't be doing malacha,
but rather he should get someone to drive him home, but that he shouldn't do malacha. But that's what the Kiva Eger says, that shaila will depend upon the on shita satosvus, in our sugya. But Bli Nedu, what the point of dispute is between Rashi and Tosfos, we'll pick up with that next time.